Welcome, everybody, to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news. If you want to jot the phone number down, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. It is the fourth Tuesday of the month. That means county commissioners, all three, are in place here on the studios of KAJO Radio. And gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for coming to the microphones of KAJO Radio.
Good morning.
Herman, glad to see you. You're a little early today.
Hey, I made it.
Yeah,
the plane didn't take off, did it?
We're impressed. Just in time. And John, how are you today?
Hey, good. Real good.
All right, and Dan DeYoung also in studio today, Dan?
Yep. I'm here.
Okay. All right. Everybody's president accounted for. First of all, general question, what are your constituents telling you before we get into probably what's going to happen tomorrow at the county commissioner's business session? John, what are your constituents telling you?
Oh, some are upset over different budgets. Some are upset over just everything. There's a big push on this 762 right now. A lot of people are upset over that, and they should be. The state's really doing a disservice to our state and our county over this 762 mapping. And so there's quite a bit of upsetness going on.
Oh, all right. Herman, are you hearing the same things?
Yeah, you know, our budget contracted about $11 million this year. So anytime you're in a contraction mode, people aren't happy because you're making cuts. So you hear a lot of that. But the fire mapping, you know, that's kind of my wheelhouse. That's what I've done all my life. And when I was in the Senate, I was on all the different wildfire committees, the governor's special wildfire committee. And I'm just appalled at the state. So here they have a town hall meeting, right? They talk for about 5 or 10 minutes. And then they say, oh, we're going to break up into these little groups and you go from station to station and talk about it. This is the divide and conquer mentality. The federal government come out with it first. See, a town hall is supposed to be a meeting of all the people. They sit there, they get to ask questions, and everybody hears the conversation. When you break them up into these little bitty groups and stuff, nobody knows what the conversation is anymore. And a town hall is very productive because one person's question might prompt other questions from other people, and you're all in the same cup. So this is a way to get around public input and to really inform the public of what's going on and let the public be part of it. It's shameful. It shouldn't be tolerated, but I guess this is what Governor Kotek promotes. This is what they want. They want to get something done, so then they'll go back to Salem, and they'll come back and they'll say, you know, we had all these town hall meetings, and we had a few concerns, but now we're going to move on with our agenda. That's how it's working. And the citizens ought to be irate over this, absolutely irate. I'm appalled. I'm writing a letter to the state forester. I'm sure it's going to find its place in the round file, but I'm still going to do it.
All right. Dan, what are your people telling you?
I call that the check the box. Mm-hmm. Because when they go back and they say, well, did you have town hall? Did you really hear the people? Did you hear the people? And I agree with Commissioner. That's exactly how you do it. You say everybody should be in the room so you can bounce ideas off each other. And you get a general consensus of, well, what was the tone in the room? They didn't like it. What was the tone in the breakout groups? Well, I think they understood the reason why we have to do this. And it's, you're right, it's divide and conquer. And then you go back and say, did you really listen? Did you talk to these people? Yes, and they check that box. BLM's famous for doing it on almost everything, and the federal government does it just routinely. And they say, yeah, we did all of that. And it's just check the box. And you can't win on it. He's absolutely right. But, it's bad. And it really isn't taking into consideration the situation in Southern Oregon.
All right, gentlemen, in this particular case, what is the state's ultimate goal? Danny, one.
Oh, I can tell you exactly what the goal is.
All right.
So you always go to the 30,000-foot view. So the ultimate goal of the environmental community across the state since the 70s with Senate Bill 100 has been to depopulize rural Oregon, put everybody in the cities. So that's the first goal. And they do it by, they're going to do it by this. They're going to come out with this map. Insurance companies are going to say, oh boy, here you are. We're going to raise your insurance rates. So now it's going to cost more to live there. Two, the legislature is going to come out and say, oh, well, we got to make all these, we got to make some changes in land use, setbacks, where you can build, where you can't, and how you can build. Okay, we got to armor these houses so that they're protected from wildland fire. So it's going to be more expensive to build, and it's going to get harder to get permits. That's goal one, depopulize rural Oregon. Goal two, the Democrats have wanted to get general funding out of large fire costs for a long time. So currently there's three buckets of money to pay for large fire costs. One is the large landowners contribute. Two is their insurance policy from Lloyd's of London, which the general fund pays a premium. And three, then it's general fund money. The Democrats would love to get all the general fund money out of this equation so they can go spend it on their little programs that they want to spend it on. And they're going to come and they're going to do a property tax for everybody that lives in the WUI, everybody that's a, and you're going to pay for it. And the general fund money will go to something else. That's the second reason. Always remember, don't ever let a disaster go to waste. Utilize it to promote your agenda.
I think they're also, in, you know, kind of dovetailing with that is your liability as a homeowner in rural America. They're going to put the liability on you that if you haven't done what they say and a fire breaks out and it moves on to somebody else, you're going to be liable for it. And that's not right either.
So, you know, Chuck, I went to that. And I would say I started trying to count about 270 people there. And I would say three quarters of them were teed off. They're lucky there's a building left. And the OSU guy got up and he said, well, we have four criterias. And that's, of course, set out by the state. Not one criteria had anything to do with logging or forest management. He talked about ember showers. If you live within a mile and a half of any sort of timber or trees, you can get an ember shower. So that causes you to be in the high or the extreme category. All of Grants Pass.
I was going to say, that's about everybody in Josephine County.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I looked at him like, and I asked him, I said, an ember shower? I said, what causes an ember? Oh, he said, when all the trees are on fire and the wind's blowing. I said, which way is the wind blowing? Well, I don't know. I said, then how do you know that it's going to blow towards Grants Pass? Well, we don't know, but we have to categorize it as covers everybody.
Our model, our computer model says it can be that way.
Yeah, it just, so you're going to get a property tax assessment, another one, and they're going to go around and send Oregon Department of Forestry to assess every single piece of property, and that new assessment's going to get onto your property tax. And so they're just creating more government, more rights to come onto your land, more regulation of your property. It's not going to stop. They're going to property tax you to death. It's just a bad deal. But, you know, my insurance, when the first map came out, I paid $540 a year. I'm at just almost $1,200 now. And my insurance company says expect $100 to $200 a year increase. And I talk to citizens all over this county. Some of them can't even get insurance anymore. Because of that map, the map they pulled and the map they got isn't much better. And, you know, those guys from OSU, yeah, they're going to do what they want. They're going to do anything the state tells them because they're getting millions of dollars. This is just a money scheme and racket to control us.
Okay, gentlemen, in all of that being said, what should the average citizen out there do?
Show up to the meetings and get a hold of your representative and your senator, because that's who's going to be voting on these policies in the Capitol. And so that's your only line of defense, is to get involved and get a hold of your state rep and your state senator.
All right, gentlemen. We've got the county commissioners in studio today, and more suddenly, the first few minutes have really just flown by. We'll take a little pause, and we'll be right back after this word.
It's Grilling.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here. County commissioners are in studio today, and we started off talking about what we're seeing from that 762 map that outlines your fire danger wherever you live. Now, gentlemen, anything else coming up from your constituents out there? What are they concerned about these days?
Well, I'm sure the Courier is going to have a lot to write about after this week is over. You know, we're going to make all of our budget decisions this week. So no matter what we do, no matter what we do, it will be the wrong thing.
I've been getting an awful lot of emails. Well, we all have it at the county commissioner in concerns about the OSU contract, Oregon State, you know, the OSU extension service contract, and what it entails and what it's going to look like, or if it's going to look like, because we have to make that decision as the OSU board of directors by the end of this week also. Another one is pipework. Pipework is going to come up. We're going to hear from BLM. Commissioner Beartrager wanted to hear from BLM what their plans were, and that's coming up on Wednesday's WBS. So I'm hoping that satisfies him. I would like to move along with pipework, get it sold and get it out of our inventory. There's just, you know, a lot of little stuff that's ending at the end of the year is usually
end of the fiscal year.
End of the fiscal year is usually busy. This year it is unbelievably crowded, and it's into the last week. Right. And I've got people coming to town from all over the place, and I kind of put out the word, you know, don't bother me on the last week. I've got a word for that, but I can't use it on the air and mixed company. So it's all tied up to it. So I hope we enjoy it.
All right, gentlemen, tomorrow's weekly business session gets underway at 9 o'clock in the morning. And let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, four public hearings. So I expect this will be a long meeting. Are you anticipating that same situation?
It depends on what the public hearing is all about. You know, sometimes we're just approving something we've already been talking about for 6 months, and it's our final reading and so on, of ordinances and so on and so forth. A lot of that's just kind of, it looks like it takes a lot of time, public hearings, as long as there's not a whole bunch of public comment, and most of the time there isn't. So it's kind of housekeeping.
But the 4-H Extension Service District budget is one of those public hearings, and that's already drawn a lot of...
This is the most bizarre situation I've experienced in my public service.
Let me put a footnote here. Certainly, the board has been under attack from this.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, so this is an opportunity to defend yourselves.
I also think it's fixable. I think there's a remedy. You know, being attacked is one thing, but I think there's a remedy to fix this thing, and I think it'd be work out for the kids. We talk about the kids, and I think it's almost a perfect storm, but it's just going to require, say, okay, yeah, I'll give this program up and Youth and Ag will take it and away we go. And maybe the Fair Board needs to join in on what their livestock program needs to look like.
It's not that with me. What I'm just appalled with, Chuck, is that all my years in the Senate and in the county and everything, I've always believed that as an elected official representing the citizens, there's three things you need to really pay attention to. One, is taxpayer dollars being used wisely? Two, is there any corruption? And three, is there any fraud? Okay? Because we're the only oversight. The citizens don't have the oversight. They elect us to be. So when I go to an agency like Oregon State Extension Service and I ask them for your budget records, I asked them for the ledger, what are you spending your travel expenses, how much are these positions being paid, all of these things. And they just pretty much say, we don't have to show you. They gave us an overview. So then I, because of my experience in the legislature, I went to our state rep and our state senator, and I said, on the behalf of the Josephine County Commissioners, can you request this information from a state agency? And you know what the letter they got from Oregon Extension Service? You pay us $269 for a public records request, and we'll give you the information. This is a state agency talking to a state senator and a state representative. You have to pay us for the information. I'm appalled, absolutely appalled. How can I make a decision on $1 million budget when I don't even have the information of what they're going to spend it on? I've never seen anything like it. When I was in the Senate and I had a detailed question of an agency, I went to the agency or I went to legislative fiscal office or legislative revenue office, and we'd have it almost the same day or the next day. But Oregon State Extension Service, nope. right up to today, nope. Give us $269 and we'll let you look at it. Is that the transparency we have in Oregon? Really? Great.
All right, John, everybody's weighed in, but you so far. Jump in.
So I got this email yesterday. I picked it up, and it's from OSU Extension. And it says, as requested by the board last week, we were able to address the questions posed to our office. Apparently, they weren't listening to the questions. But so club membership, 2324, 131 people in the club membership. Number of clubs, 10. 10 clubs, 131 people.
That's the 4-H side of it.
No.
That's all of it?
That's all the clubs they have. Those aren't 4-H clubs. So I read up here, and they talk about 4-H is open to youth ages 5 through 19. But technically, if you read the website and everything, 4-H is 9 through 19. So they got young people under the age of 9 participate as clover buds. Those aren't 4-H people. Those aren't 4-H kids. They never were. Never have, because 4-H was 9 through 19. So now they got these kids, but they only have 131 people in club membership out of 10 clubs. That's 13, average 13.1 people per club of kids. And it doesn't break out Master Gardeners, so I'm assuming that's the Master Gardeners put in there, because Master Gardeners is a club. So it's... And then I read in here, and they talk about charging the youth, and then there's a $5 late fee if you don't pay by January 31st. We pay $440,000, the taxpayers pay $441,000, and they still charge the kids and the adults, and they put a late fee if you don't pay to join it. I mean, how absurd is this? And then I read in here about their grants. So OSU gets around for 35 counties and 6 extensions offices, state and federal grants, $72 million. Add the other $40 million, give or take, there might be a hair over that, $114 million they get in Oregon. And then they talk about in here, the grant money isn't part of the extension, it's OSU's money. Then it actually says that the grant money is because they get the grant money because of the extension in each district extension, which is Josephine County. So that's our money. It was given. And they say in here, without the taxpayer money, they don't get the grant money. But we're not going to tell you exactly how much grant money we get, because it's our money. It's not your money. Without Josephine County extension, you don't get the grant money. So it's our money.
And you know, on top of that, when you dig down, that's why I need to dig down, because the Master Gardeners and other programs, they pay to be part of that program. I said, so how much money is that? Well, that's not part of the budget. Then you go to the Grange Co-op, and you go buy something, and they say, well, would you like to round up for 4-H kids? Well, how much money is that, and where does that go? And I have no answers where this money is. It's flowing. We know it's flowing in. We don't know how much, and we don't know what it pays for. It's crickets. I'm absolutely appalled. And I'll tell you what, our state representation is appalled too. And I think there's a systemic problem with Oregon State University. And I think it's time to open the books on the entire statewide program and see where the money's going. And how much we are paying, and how it's being spent. I think it's time.
What kind of dollars are we talking about for Josephine County?
Oh, it's about $400,000 is what the tax would pay.
The tax pays is $441,000.
But that's to go.
You have to do it by what the ballot measure says. It goes to operations. Well, it goes to the admin side of it, not the kids. And I'm sorry,
well, that's here, not true.
Here's the explanatory. This is the statement. The measure seeks to form the Josephine County 4-H and Extension Service District under the control of the Josephine County Board of Commissioners, and to establish a tax base of $145,000 to fund the district. So that's went up because of inflation. The purpose is to provide the fund 4-H youth, agriculture, home economics, forestry, community development, energy programs to the citizen of Josephine County. Has had extension programs for 79 years until the county can no longer partially support these programs through the general fund. Local citizens have donated funds to partially restore limited extension services since 1995. However, there was no service in the county during the period from October 1995 to May 1996. The limited service will end without a district and tax base. And then it talks about the boundaries of the district be the whole county. Money to operate Oregon State Extension Service comes from three sources. Three sources. Federal, state, and county government. This district levy would pay for expenses associated with the county office, such as clerical wages, office space and maintenance, travel, and office supplies. State and federal funds cover the costs of county agents and campus specialists. So there's what it said in 1996. And then there's some other stuff in there too. But it's supposed to be for 4-H and agriculture. When this was written, there was 791 kids in 4-H. There's not that now.
Six.
In the livestock program.
In the livestock program.
Six
kids in the livestock program.
And when this was written, there were 791. There's about 300 and some in the Josephine County.
They're in their clubs. Well, that's what they said, but then according to this.
No, but the Josephine County.
Youth and Ag.
Youth and Ag. There's
and I think going to Youth and Ag, that's a breakout program, and it's been the best thing for the kids all along is that Youth and Ag. So why can't the livestock element of 4-H and OSU Extension, why can't that just go to Youth and Ag? And then it goes by Youth and Ag's requirements and so on and so forth for livestock auction and everything. I think it doesn't need to be in name the 4-H livestock auction at the Josephine County Fair. The Fair Board, I think, has the authority to say it's no longer that. It is now the Josephine County livestock auction.
No, it's a private club, Josephine County Youth and Ag, and there's no taxpayer money supporting.
Correct, it is. None. But why does it have to be the Josephine County 4-H livestock auction? Why can't it just be the Josephine County livestock auction sponsored by Youth and Ag?
It's no longer the 4-H livestock auction.
I know. It should be Youth and Ag.
Yeah, it's Youth and Ag.
I think they should celebrate the fact. I think Youth and Ag's done a fantastic, Jennifer, they've just done a fantastic job. It's good for the kids. And I think, she should be celebrating that rather than draining the pool so nobody can use it.
So why should the taxpayer dollars be putting money into 4-H when it's...
Well, don't put it into the 4-H livestock program. Carve the livestock program out because it's better for the kids.
But that's you're going back to the measure. But when we ask for a budget, we ask to hear it. It says when they're talking about the OSU extension, Josephine County 4-H charges county fee $15 per youth after December 31st. This supports county 4-H program delivery.
Gentlemen, I've got to jump in here. I've got a hard break coming up. I want to thank you very much. Stay tuned. We'll continue this right after the top of the hour news. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to KAJO Grants Pass.
When I saw the word pregnant show up.
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, you're invited to give us a call and I will put you on the air live. The number 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. Once again, county commissioners in studio today, and we're talking passionate about the County Extension Service budget that is coming up for review tomorrow in a public hearing at the county commissioners meeting at the Ambassador Auditorium starting at 9 o'clock in the morning. And, John, you wanted to jump in. I think you were the last person speaking as we went away for news.
Well, our whole part of this budget was we wanted numbers. We wanted to see where the money was going, and we never got it in their whatever they call a budget. So, but one thing, when I got this email, it says, this supports County 4-H program delivery and goes to the OSU County fee account, the money that they're talking about in here that they charge. We didn't have that in their so-called budget. we don't know. They're drawing all this money for fees on people, on adults and kids and everything, but they're calling that their OSU fee account that they don't have to tell us how much money's in there. But they're charging the people here of Josephine County. There's so much money coming into this county because of this, and they call it OSU's money. I just beg the difference. It's our district, and we have the right to see every single penny that they get because of this district, and we're not seeing it.
We received a press release here that's saying that for this public hearing, they would come out with a detailed budget, and that we've got a little thing that went with it here, but that's far from a detailed budget. Do you expect to see anything tomorrow?
I don't.
During the public hearing?
I don't, because this is what they sent us. According to this, they said this answers your questions. It doesn't answer our questions. All this does is try to surpass you. But the problem is the county commissioners are, our job is waste, abuse, and fraud. And so I'll let you decide the last one. The waste and the abuse, I'll deal with that one on my own. So,
okay. Armin, I know you're passionate here.
Well, I'm passionate because I've looked over so many budgets in my political career. That's, you know, and this is just bizarre. That's all I can say. It's bizarre that they won't come forward. And so that's starting to tell me this might be a systemic problem across the state with the entire, and the attitude. This is Oregon State University money. No, it's not. Whether it's state, federal, or local government, it's the taxpayer dollars. And there's obviously no oversight. And that's very dangerous in government. And I think it's time to open the books on the entire Oregon State Extension Service and to see how the money's spent, how much money people, what are the salaries, how many people, what do they do, all of that. What it's telling me is when they go to this extent not to open the books, is there something they don't want us to see? Is that what's going on? I don't know. But the only way that's going to clear the air is to open the books and let us look at it.
Have we reached out to any other of the rural counties to see how they're handling the situation?
I know there's some other counties that are starting to ask questions too, but not to the extent that we are.
Oh, all right. Dan, you, they're on the end.
Am I still on there?
You're still on the
air. Okay, all right.
As long as you're not leaning on that button over there.
No, I'm not leaning on that. Okay. I'm used to the button after 15 years of the button. Like I said, I want to look at the thing holistically as the OSU extension, and I see that this I agree with my fellow commissioners that to open the books is one thing. I would think that if there are other charges, of course, the other charges are not in conjunction with the tax and the district. It's maybe that's outside the district. So we see what the district is. And if the district, but if you were looking at a company and the company were getting rent from someplace, well, guess what? That rent would be on the income statement somewhere as a resource. And if you're having charges, like you're saying, charging each club member $15 registration fee or whatever, there should be a line item for that. I'm not arguing with that. I don't know if that pie chart breaks it down, and maybe, you know, we need a more detailed version of it, but you know, I'm going to ask probably tomorrow if we have any representatives from OSU, what is the OSU program, extension service program, going to look like for Josephine County going forward if it goes away 2-1, 3-1, I mean 3-0, whatever it is. And if it goes away, what is it going to look like locally for our 80,000 citizens? Are we basically draining the pool because we didn't like, you know, the way our kids went through intermediate swimming. I just want to make sure that we understand the scope of what would happen. Do other counties pick that up? And now we're using Douglas County and Jackson County money, because we are kind of regional in our agricultural end of it with the wineries and so on and so forth. It used to be hops and it was mint and so on and so forth. But now it is into the wineries, and it was the pears for a while. When we had River Road Reserve out there, we had some pear trees that had been ignored for a long time. And Harry and David was quite concerned about that because they didn't want their crops being, I guess, infiltrated with spores or whatever. I don't know what it was, but I know that the city had a real rush to get those trees mitigated. So I think there's a remedy here somewhere. And like I said, I think, you know, the whole thing sparked from this deal on the livestock at the 4-H, at the Josephine County Fair. And if it means an MOU and a name change or whatever, and we split that side of it out, and then I think we need to put the other one underneath an our microscope and really get down to the bottom of it. But I don't want to be to say OSU just walks, and when somebody picks up the OSU phone to get some real help in a vineyard or you know, with an agricultural problem, that it's sorry, we pulled out of Josephine County and we're not funded there any longer, so therefore you're kind of on your own. I think it's such a, it's a pretty broad dynamic, and it all started with the livestock program and some issues with the livestock program, and I'm absolutely in favor with their concerns over there.
So just a little tidbit of information, Chuck. There's 36 counties in the state, and Oregon State Extension Service serves 35. Can you tell me which county they do not?
No, I can't.
Multnomah.
Oh, not surprised, but yeah. That would have been a wild guess. Okay. All right, gentlemen, lots more happening tomorrow in your weekly business session, and we'll deal with some of those things when we come back right after this important message. It's welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. Ladies and gentlemen, County Commissioners are in studio, and we have a caller. Good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question or comment for our guests?
Hi, my name is Kayla Sheets, and I was a budget officer for last year. I'm no longer employed with OSU, and I just want to make that clear that this is my opinion, but I think the commissioners are full of crap, and I think that the community realizes that. I think they have their own motives for what they're doing, and we all know that. The community knows that. Our backers know that. All this bunk about them trying, about the budget and how we're not presenting to them. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We've presented it to them. They just don't know how to read the budget. Okay, so community, wake up, please. They don't know how to read the budget, and they are doing this for their motives only, their selfish motives only. They want our property to move their county offices from Dimmock onto that. I mean, we all are aware of this corruption. And again, I'm going to say I'm not with OSU anymore, but I am the budget officer, and I did do that the last year. And so we are being transparent. We are being real as OSU. And so county, wake up, because this is corrupt.
That's a pretty serious charge, ma'am, and I'll let the county
absolutely.
I'll let the commissioners respond to that. You've just been accused of corruption. John, you're leaning right in.
I'll take right into the middle of that. Well, she was the budget. She was the budget.
Ma'am. We can only talk one at a time. Okay, thank you.
She was the budget officer last year, and she was incapable of doing the budget correctly. So that's apparently maybe why she's not doing it this year. So there is no corruption. Maybe the corruption should be, if anybody wants to look at it, maybe it's on the other side, but she didn't get to do the budget this year, and she shouldn't have done it last year because she didn't know how to do it right. So,
all right, ma'am.
That is false. I did the budget last year, and I didn't do the budget this year because I resigned from OSU.
All right, any response? Herman's leaning in. Just a moment, ma'am.
You know, this all started last year and the year before, so this is some of the problem we've had is with the last budget officer. I don't know, but it's certainly possible.
No, this problem, I'm sorry to interject, this problem started with John West, and you guys are corrupt. You guys are corrupt leaders, and you do not represent the voices and the people of Josephine County. You are jeopardizing this program because you don't understand it. John West himself admitted on Monday when he visited the campus to look at it, to figure out if this is great campus for Dimmock or whatever you guys plan to do with it. You guys have never visited. You guys have never asked what we do, and you've refused to understand what Extension does. This is on you. 100%. You refuse to understand the budget. You refuse to understand, and you're using this to benefit yourself. You're self-serving individuals. You're not representing Josephine County.
Ma'am, you've accused them of corruption. Can you list some specific charges? All you're saying is pretty general.
Oh my gosh. I mean, read the newspaper, read the Daily Courier, which they're so close to. I mean,
that's Kayla.
Wait.
The conflict of interest that these two commissioners do is just so blatant and so obvious. And that's all I have to say. I mean, I don't have to go into details. Everybody knows you guys are corrupt.
So just for the tally book, one, how do I benefit? And how am I corrupt? I mean, how do I benefit from making this decision? Do I financially benefit? How do I benefit?
How do you not benefit? I mean, you guys are moving town. I mean, what are you guys going to do with the property? I mean, you're sitting there laughing, but you guys, like, this is what you do when you get called out. I mean, I did the Rotary presentation, and guess what? John West didn't like what I had to say and then pulled me off of publicly representing OSU because you guys are babies when you get called out about it.
Ma'am. We're not going to all right. We are through calling names now, ma'am. If you have some facts, we'd be happy to hear them, and I'll provide you the time. But we're not going to call anybody names, okay?
So how am I benefiting, and how am I being self-served? You say that I am. So tell me how.
This would take hours to explain every single way that you are self-serving. You and John West.
Well, take a stab at it.
And I don't have to go into details because you know and the community knows, and I don't have to explain. I mean, look at the OSU Extension Service as a whole. You guys are benefiting because you're friends with the other group that's opposing this. You want to move them in. You tried to get them.
Ma'am. You're repeating yourself now. If you have more to accuse or to put out here, we'd appreciate some facts. But in the meantime, we have other things to talk about. I'll provide you as much time as you possibly need, but we're not going to call names, and we're not going to repeat ourselves time and time again. Now, go ahead. You're still on the air.
I just want to say the fact is that they're wrong about the budget. The information has been presented to them, and factually, they don't understand what they're reading, and they haven't asked for clarification or understanding about the situation. So thank you for your time, and the community supports us. The community knows what's going on, and so that's all I have to say. Thank you for your time.
All right, thank you. All right, gentlemen, final response.
Oh, and we haven't asked for it? I got a letter from Oregon State Extension Service to our senator saying, we'll give you the information if you pay $269. We've asked for all kinds of things. So I don't understand. And you know what? She never said how we're benefiting. We never said how it's self-interest. It's just, she says, I don't have to give you details. Well, if we don't have details, that's the root of the problem. If we remember, we don't have details on the budget.
All right, gentlemen, we'll move on here just a little bit as time is suddenly getting short. Thank the lady for her phone call and her certainly side of things. In the meantime, though, tomorrow, presentation, Bureau of Land Management presenting to the county on the real property known as Pipe Fork. What do we expect, and is there going to be any outcome tomorrow?
What we hope we expect, the whole Pipe Fork sale was the people in Williams wanted that piece of property to be set aside from any logging activity and open to the public because it's kind of an interesting place. It's got a little waterfall and stuff, but they were very specific. We want to make sure it's never logged, and we want to make sure it's open to the public, and that's why we want to purchase it from the county and give it to BLM. So we're just going to ask BLM, how do they plan on management, and do we have assurances to make sure it won't be logged and it'll continue to be open to the public? That's what we're hoping we hear from BLM tomorrow.
Okay, Dan.
I think it'd be very important to have maybe an MOU of understanding, memorandum of understanding between all three parties of how this is going to look. Now, you can say, I want it open to the public, but what portion do you want open to the public? Do you want it open to foot traffic and non-vehicular traffic and non-motorized traffic, which we can do all the time, and I think they would agree to that. Reason that we lock up gates, and this lockup thing, and we all three of us go back a long ways in history in Josephine County. I've hunted these hills up here and never had a lock gate on federal land before. And now they lock up gates because why? The 80,000 people that we serve, there's a certain portion of that 80,000 people that thinks it's okay to go up and dump their refrigerators, washers, dryers, tires, motorhomes, travel trailers, and any other garbage they want on federal land or county land for that matter. And that's why a lot of these places are locked up by BLM because of trash. And it wasn't like that in the old days. And we all admit that because we've hunted these hills and we had open access to everything. When they were logging, we had open access. A lot of times they may close off, like Foots Creek was closed off for a while because they had some equipment up there when the environmental people were starting to damage logging equipment, so they had to lock it off. But I think we need to describe what open to the public means, and if open to the public means that you can go in there with non-motorized traffic, then I think we could all agree on that. But you know, and as far as the management of the forest, you know, and I talked to some of the folks out there in Williams, I said, but what if the BLM says that for the health of the forest, they have to partial cut that. You okay with that? And it says, we want them to manage the forest. And that would be okay with them. But I think we just need to come to understanding. And Commissioner Bear Trigger's, you know, that's a good question to ask. What does BLM look to do for it? I said we could probably just keep it in the Josephine County's purview and just write a board order or whatever. And you're right. We can't dictate policy for commissioners farther on down the line. So that's no guarantee, but it's something. And we wouldn't get the $2.3 million, and we would have control of it all from here on out. So, but that can't happen either. So I think we need to hear tomorrow from BLM, and I hope we can come to an agreement that this is the way it's going to look going forward, and we get this sale culminated, because you know what? I've been at this for 5 years. I'm tired of it. I'm growing weary, and I think we've set every hurdle in front of them that they possibly can. I think it's a good deal for the citizens of Josephine County, and they still will be able to. I think, you know, it will be open to them. I think that's the intent of everybody involved here, is to keep that land open and to be used by the public.
All right. Real quickly, how much is the offer for that land from that group?
$2,320,000.
It's $2 million coming from the BLM eventually through the conservation fund, and $300,000 from the people of Williams, that they've got a group out there that came up with 15% match.
Well, we don't know where the $300,000 come from, but they're the ones that are.
Yeah. And it's all in the contract, and when things are signed, it goes directly into escrow, and that has to happen via contract.
All right, as we hurtle towards the end of the fiscal year, a lot of budget dealing with tomorrow. Law Enforcement Service District budget for fiscal year 24-25 is on the agenda tomorrow. What do we expect to hear there?
A pass.
Okay. Is the sheriff going to be happy?
Ask the sheriff, will you?
Right, okay. All right, also the county budget, also a final vote for 24-25. Comment here, and we've got about 2 minutes left. Well, I'll just generally ask each one of you real quickly what people should take away from today's program.
Real quick, I'll use any time I have. I'd like to encourage the citizens to look up. We're going to have a sealed bid auction on 24 pieces of property, a sheriff's sale. And bid opening is at 8 a.m. Wednesday, July 17th, 2024. And so I would like to encourage people to go to our website and look it up and see if any of these properties interest them, because we have quite a list here. So,
all right. Mr. Bartshaker.
Well, just so the citizens know that our budget shrunk $11 million and the cost of doing business went up anywhere between 10 and 14%. So we're in a contraction mode right now. And so that's why, you know, people get a little testy But at the end of the day, you only have so many dollars to spend, and we'll see what happens next year.
And no such thing as deficit spending here, is there?
No, no. We don't have a printing machine at the courthouse.
All right. Mr. DeYoung.
Yes, yesterday I was honored to introduce Sebastian Gatti. He's a local young man here, and he was commissioned into the United States Naval Academy yesterday on the front steps of the courthouse. He comes from a long line of
30 seconds, Dan.
A long line of Annapolis people, and his brother's in the graduated from the Air Force Academy, and it was a nice ceremony. It was hosted by our Veteran Service Office, and even Jim Hamilton came over, chief at Eagle Point, I think, isn't he? Police chief. And he came over and gave a little send-off, too. So it was very nice. It was on a positive note for Josephine County.
Gentlemen, I'm out of time. I want to thank you all very much. You're listening to KAJO Grants Pass.
The Bigfoot Dwarf Card.